This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a very special Tuesday edition of The Wrap Live on the Fike Media Network YouTube channel. We're back, running it back to back after 48 hours as we talk about all things WWE. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right-hand, the sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Miss Jada Parker from NXT. I bring to you back on The Wrap, the one, the only, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Better show today. So, I think this will be a good conversation. Good little preview for the Clash that'll be coming on in the middle of the day. So, yeah, there's another one of those. But, yeah, good conversation today.
Yes, another PLE going down on a Saturday in the afternoon. It's not going to be at 12 o'clock. It's not going to be at 1 o'clock. It's going to be at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. So get your snacks ready. Get your beverages ready to go as well. It is going to be a very busy Saturday. Once again, our last Saturday afternoon PLE. For a minute, thankfully, things go back to the Saturday night rotation with Money in the Bank starting next month in July from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. But until we get to that event, we're going to preview the Clash towards the end of this episode. But we're going to dive into very briefly something that we did not talk about due to obligations that were of the professional nature. We got to get into the NBA Finals just a touch. Right now, it is Boston and Dallas. Boston's up 2-0. We have game 3 tomorrow night in Dallas. So, Scott, how's it looking? Do you think Dallas can get a win at home and try to even this series by Friday night?
Yeah. Do I think they can? Yeah. I think they'll win game 3. I feel like everyone's pretty confident about that. I'm still sticking with my pick. I'm still sticking with the Mavs in 6. So, yeah, I do think they'll win the next. I'm hoping they'll win the next 4. Game 2 is a very winnable game. That pushing the back 9 call that would have sent PJ Washington to the line to cut it to 3 with a minute left, that changed the course of the game, but it's all good. Still got the Mavs in 6.
Okay. All right. I'm trying to hold the line here. Got to see what they're going to do tomorrow at home. But if they don't win, you can pretty much pack up the series and call it a day and just give Boston the trophy. So we shall see how it goes. But now let's dive into our regular discussion, which is our WWE talk. Let's go back a little bit in time to Friday Night SmackDown going down live on Fox. And we kick things off with the coronation, the anointing of Tongaloa by the new tribal chief temporarily, Solo Sikoa, and Paul Heyman was trying to go through this speech of the importance of this moment, this transfer of power, but he really wasn't buying into it. He was still terrified of the new bloodline, and rightfully so. And that leads to the Street Profits and Kevin Owens coming out there to cause a little ruckus that will lead to our main event later on in the show. But Scott, your thoughts on the opening to SmackDown with the new bloodline still striking the fear of God and Paul Heyman at every opportunity?
It's fine. It's eating up the TV time. It's a good placeholder. It's not the bloodline. You know, it's definitely, it's not Friends, it's Joey, but you know, it's an extension of Friends essentially. That's all it is. It's just the Joey version of Friends.
Not the Joey version of Friends.
That's no. It's about all I could think of. A super popular show. Then it had a spinoff that tried to carry on the lineage, and it was just there because of the lineage. That's where we're at with the bloodline right now. Solo is Joey.
Blasphemous. That is blasphemous. That is rude. That is not nice. That is very unkind And oh. I don't know how to take that. I really don't.
Let me ask you, you know what? You might be right, because at first I was going to say Game of Thrones, but for me to call Solo Sikoa House of the Dragon, God forbid how disrespectful of me to the House of the Dragon cast. So I won't do that. I figured Joey was a fine analysis as far as what Solo's bringing to the table.
Well, as we said before, the time will come when he gets clipped by people that are simply more charismatic than him and better than him in the ring. That time is coming imminently. So I guess he better get this out of his system while he can, because that is our fear moving forward, which is rightfully so, as we now transition to our tag team match involving the women's tag team champions, Jay Cargill and Bianca Belair, versus Indi Hartwell and Candice LeRae. Now, they try to tease that Candice was severely injured. Not so much. She was able to compete on Friday night. The match was all right. Kind of been there, done that at the King and Queen of the Ring PLE a couple of weeks ago. And it was a dominant performance by the babyfaces as usual. And then we get some interference courtesy of Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, who are staking their claim to the tag team titles at the Clash on Saturday in a triple threat match against Bianca Belair, Jay Cargill, and the team of Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. So they got the beatdown on the heels after getting attacked this past Monday on Raw. You know, a good way to get the heat back on the baby faces. But as we said last week, we're basically warming up and heating up all of the Scottish wrestlers for this event. Some will be more over than others, and this match will be good. But I don't know if the heat's truly going to carry over for this match for the hometown favorites.
I don't care. I don't care. They haven't given me a reason to care. We know why the match is on the card. They're probably going to eat the pinfall loss. After the match, they'll get a nice ovation. They'll get their moment in the ring to soak it up and get their hometown applause. But yeah, I don't care. As far as, especially after what they did Monday. So they've given me no reason to care about this match.
Wow. Scott's just like, and next. It's true, though, because Isla Dawn and Alba Fire talk about, you haven't beaten us, but we haven't seen you wrestle until this past Monday on Raw, where you lost to Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler. It decreases your value and what you said, talking all that talk, and then you end up losing. Like, I want to support them, I want to root for them, but the booking is doing them absolutely no favors, and that is why Scott doesn't care. He doesn't care about them like I don't care about Gallus. That's where he's at, and I feel that frustration as well, because I want to root for them. I do, but come on, like, you talk all that smack and then you lose.
That's not the same.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
They are not the same as Gallus.
Yes, they are. Now, granted, really? Gallus won their match tonight. Golf claps for them. But in terms of me caring and you caring, it's about even.
Okay. Yeah, true that. To be fair, at least they're putting like coffee in some big matches. You know, Gallus is at least on TV wrestling and more. Like, they had a WWE speed match in a tag team match. They had a speed match. It was under 3 minutes. Like, shout out to the Queens. This ain't no knock on the Queens, but everybody they facing is just beneath them. And it gives me no reason to care. The reactions will be interesting. So that the match will be fine. But as far as what we're doing to get there, I don't care.
Yeah, it's pretty subpar stuff. And I do wonder what team out there is going to say, we got you guys. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're going to do. And I don't know when it's going to be the case where I can say, all right, this team has got Bianca and Jade's number. I truly don't know. It just speaks to the booking of this division since the championship's inception back in 2019. Like, you have good wrestlers, but cohesion in terms of teams is very few and far between. And you have one dominant team that's great, but you don't have like the depth of great teams to really bolster this division. And it's making me wonder, maybe we should just can it and just introduce a secondary title for the women on the main roster, which would make things a bit more competitive. And it makes booking easier too than slapdashing teams together that don't have a lot of chemistry at the end of the day.
I think it's going to be Chelsea and Piper. I think that's going to be the team. And I think it's going to be Chelsea specifically who pinned. She will probably end up pinning Bianca or something. She'll get a big, huge victory. Piper will do all the work, and somehow Chelsea will end up on top of one of those two for the win. That's how I see this reign ending.
All right, we'll see how it goes down, and then ultimately the turn by somebody, either it's Bianca or Jade when the occasion calls for it, whenever that day comes, as we move on to something that I meant to talk about last week, but I think we got the time to talk about it tonight. So we had Grayson Waller versus Johnny Gargano. Grayson Waller wins. Good victory for him. I want to segue from that match, which was fine, to what was teased the week before on SmackDown, and that Grayson Waller was basically talking some smack indirectly about his tag team partner and fellow WWE tag team champion, Austin Theory, saying without me, he would be nothing. He would be a non-success story in WWE. And Austin Theory heard that and he was like, what are you talking about, fam? So it's making me think that eventually down the road, very soon, we're going to have a splinter between Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. Now, Scott, we've talked about Austin Theory extensively on this show, and I have always said his best run was on NXT as a member of The Way when he was a lovable dumbass with a personality, which I appreciate. I don't want him dumbed down in the main roster, but do you think that if they're going in a certain direction, that there is viability with Austin Theory as a potential babyface single star on SmackDown?
I think you can do whatever you want with Austin Theory. This dude is what, 26, 27? Like, he got a huge push to the moon. And honestly, I thought his US title run was fine. Like, you know, it didn't set the world on fire. The Money in the Bank stuff really hurt him, but it's not like he hasn't done pretty big things for where he's been at, and he's been in the ring with some pretty big names. I absolutely think him as a babyface could work. The story of him and how he started wrestling, why he wrestles, why he's straight edge the way he is, like, he's got a whole backstory to him that is incredibly intriguing and interesting that they told on NXT. So he absolutely has something there. I don't want the goofball. I think he's done too much in his career. So, like, his U.S. title run, regardless of how we feel about it, is a big time run. Like, that win he had over John Cena to open WrestleMania, one of the greatest WrestleManias of all time, that's a big time win, regardless of how we look at it. So, I don't want him to go back to the goofball, but I absolutely think there is something to him as a babyface. And I think he can cut those babyface promos. I think there absolutely is something to him as a babyface.
I like how you try to pad Austin Theory's accomplishment at WrestleMania to say one of the biggest of all time. He beat John Cena. And what did John Cena say the very week or 2 weeks before WrestleMania? That if you beat me, it doesn't matter. If you beat me, it doesn't matter. And still a year later, it doesn't matter.
He did, but he's done that to literally everyone that he's lost to. He has said something along those lines to everyone that he's lost to. And he was right. I'm not saying he's wrong, but when we look back at that WrestleMania, we're still going to see the very first thing is going to be Austin Theory beat John Cena for the US title. Like, that's, and you're right. He's right. But nobody's going to remember that promo. But we're always going to remember that he beat John Cena to open that WrestleMania.
I will always remember that promo. I'll be 50 years old and we're still doing this show. And I will tell you, 25 years earlier, John Cena said, this doesn't matter. And it didn't. And you can run the match back on Peacock or Netflix or whatever streaming service WWE is going to be on by then. And I can still say that it meant nothing. Yes, it's a nice win on his resume. It's on the record, but ultimately it meant absolutely squat at the end of the day. Now, I am for an Austin Theory babyface run. As you said, he has a story, and I think it's time for that story to be told on the main roster and for him to connect with an audience in a way that will get him over. And maybe this is going to be the thing that is going to unlock what he needs to do in order to be a big time star in WWE. They see something in him. They see value in him, but it's now time for him to step up and bring value to the table as a babyface. I do agree. There's no need to be goofy and dumb. Like, there was a place and time for that 3 or 4 years ago, but there is a maturation in WWE. And I think it's time for him to apply that with this run, if it's going to come to pass, which I think it will, based on the teases the last couple of weeks on SmackDown.
Yeah, and Grayson Waller is a good guy to do that with. I kind of don't want this tag run to end yet. I still think you can get some little bit more mileage out of it. But yeah, Austin Theory as a babyface on the SmackDown side, definitely. And I think that's the other thing when it comes to, like, you know, the whole John Cena thing, like, regardless of, like, he's so young, like, all this stuff that's happening right now, like, he's so young, and he could be wrestling 25 years from now. Like, he could legit still be wrestling somewhere 25 years. Like, that's the thing about why I kind of don't freak out about Austin Theory and where he at and where he's at and his spot on the card. Like, he got all of that main event top level experience. Like, let's not forget, he won the Elimination Chamber defending the US title. Like, he's got a ton of experience wrestling in top spots, big moments. And as far as the wrestling goes, he did a good match every time, you know. So I just think that he's gotten all the experience that he needs. And when he gets that real opportunity to try it on the babyface side with a competent booker who's not giving him golden eggs that are popping out of his butt cheeks, we might have something special.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I just hope he figures it out. I really do, because the potential's there. I go to what Kevin Owens told him a couple of years ago, like, you guys, hey, you're a dime a dozen. You come through all the time. I'm one in a million here, so hopefully he can break that narrative and trend, and he can kind of find himself in a way that will get him over. And as you said, he's had experience at the top, but in terms of it meaning something, in terms of substance, that is where it's kind of lost for me. So hopefully this babyface run can add that extra bit of depth to make him the star that he's probably meant to be, with a bit more repetition and hopefully better booking along the way as well. As we get to Cody Rhodes being absolutely aggravated and pissed off and infuriated after what AJ Styles did to him the week before on SmackDown, the full retirement tour, he got played. Cody, I could have told you when he said, come on out, Cody, I want to hand the keys to you to my house. Here's the deed to the house that I built. And after that happened, Cody got his ass whooped, and AJ Styles finessed his way into another undisputed WWE Championship match at The Clash. And it will be an I Quit match. Heavy stipulation. We know both guys delivered a very strong match at Backlash and Lyon, France last month. And I expect these guys to go out there and have a hell of a match once again. And dare I say, Cody Rhodes in Air Scotland is going to bleed a little.
Yeah, there'll probably be some blood. Whether they want, Cody's gonna be like, yeah, just go ahead and smack me with something, cut me. You know, that blonde hair is gonna be all busted open. AJ Styles is gonna be screaming, I quit. We're gonna have some good brother interference. So I mean, the I Quit match is a big jump. All Mark Henry and John Cena got was a main event out of Money in the Bank, but these guys are getting an I Quit match out of it. So I wonder if they're going to have Cody tap him out to a figure four. You know, if you're going to maybe have Cody just smashing him one, you know, back consistently with a chair. I wonder how the finish is going to go, how he's going to make him quit. But yeah, it's a big match for Clash right there. Big, big main event match or semi-main event match, and that's going to put Damian and Drew in a tough spot to follow.
Definitely. I hope they're not in that spot. Honestly speaking, I know that Drew's the hometown guy and that probably will be the main event, but geez, that's asking a lot. I would kind of want in reverse order. I would kind of want Drew and them to go first and then have this be the main event.
Ooh.
I know it's sacrilege. I know. But here's the thing, because spoiler alert, Judgment Day won't be out there for the match. CM Punk will be, I will guess. And that will piss the fans off. So what do you prefer? That versus Cody leaving the crowd in a better way versus them being angry at their hometown guy getting demolished by Phil Brooks in his home country. Now, that is a choice. How do you want to end the show? Because it's going to go one of two ways. You want to send the people home happy or you want to get that heel heat. Whatever you want to do. Can't lose, but I'm thinking about, you know, how you want to leave the people at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's definitely a Tupac. How do you want it right now? How does it feel? it's take it or leave it. Drew's got to go on last. He's got to be built up throughout the show. You know, talking about, I got to do it this time. The redemption, the comeback. This is Rocky II. So yeah, he's got to go on last. Maybe you open the show with Cody. So I can go with you on that as far as having that I quit match separate. The ladies can go on in the semi-main, Piper and Bailey. That could be a big spot for Piper. So you could absolutely do that. So maybe you could have Cody in them. But also, let's keep it a buck. After the whenever the semi-main event is, before the main event match, we gonna get about 15 to 20 minutes. We got 5 minutes for commercials. You know these Peacock PLEs on a whole nother level right now. They doing real commercials, all this stuff. So that's 5 minutes. We got at least 5-10 minutes for the entrances. You know what I'm saying? You know Drew gonna get something special. So that's 5 minutes for himself. Another 5 minutes for Damon. We have 15 minutes right now in between. Okay. Then we got ring introductions. Then we got the whole little let the crowd soak it in and all. Man, we're sitting at 20, 25 minutes between matches. We might not need to split them. They could be fine going Cody and then, because that's at least 20 minutes in between.
You ain't lying, because NXT Battleground was a lot. It reminded me of the early days of Peacock. Like, oh my God, these ads. I feel like, am I watching WWE Network Premium Plus edition of Peacock with all of these profiles of NXT superstars? But I don't think they're tearing down the ring and building it back up like they did for Battleground. So it might be a little bit less, because normally when there's no downtime, the commercials and the entrances are a bit more efficient. So we shall see about that. But I do agree. Let's open the show with the I Quit match in the show. If you choose to go in that direction with heat aplenty with McIntyre, Punk, and Priest, go right ahead. And then you can have Piper Nevin and Bailey in that semi-main spot. And speaking of them, you know, Bailey came out there and she was cutting a promo, and then Chelsea Green and Piper came out there and Piper cut a very good promo. But I'm going to call out the Louisville, Kentucky crowd. You know, I've been watching wrestling for a very long time, and the what chant has been around for most of my teenage and adult life since 2001. I think it's time to stop it, on top of what we saw on Monday Night Raw with Damian Priest's promo as well. Like, Piper did not cut a bad promo. She cut a very good promo on Bayley, and they were trying to save it, but she constantly got whatted. And it just killed the flow for me. It was not a bad segment at all, but the what chance, they really got annoying at one point. Like, let her speak. You know, she doesn't get a chance to cut promos that often. And we're trying to get heat for this match, which they've done a good job for over the last few weeks, trying to build up Piper Nevin by attacking Bailey constantly. She cuts the money promo to sell it. And I thought she did a good job. But unfortunately, the what chance kind of killed the vibe.
I agree with you on the what chance. At the same time, and I know she tried, she did the inbred say what, and everybody said what. You got to change your cadence then. And I think, you know, one thing that one woman I think in particular does a really good job of that as far as changing the cadence and the speed of her promo, because that's what you have to do to throw them off. You can't be in the same and then I'm going to do this. And after I finish with this, I'm going to make sure that you know this. Like you, that's the same rhythm. You're in a rhythm now. So now they can time it. Alexa Bliss, man, when they would start doing that to her, she would go fast and she would just continuously talk, and then stop. And by once they started to what, she would start talking again. She was great at being able to change her pace and change her cadence of a promo, because she would cut those long promos and they would start wetting her and she would shut those down quickly every time. You got to be able to do that, because again, it's not her fault. The promo was good. But if they're going to do that, then you need to be ready to shut that down. Change your pace up, change your cadence. That's where not having things as rehearsed and being able to just kind of go off the cuff, like the inbred say, what is cool, but you got to be able to keep going with it. Now change the pace up. Now keep them off balance. So that's one thing I think somebody like Alexa Bliss does a very good job of. She's just the only person I can think of off the top of my head who does it, but who changes their pace and their cadence of their promo when the crowd starts trying to what them or throw them off or something like that.
Look at Speech Coach Scott come through with advice on cadence and rhythm and how to get your flow back. Like, look at you offering advice and trying to help Piper in her time of need, saying, listen, you said one thing, but you didn't hop on the chance when you had the chance. And you are right. But at the same time, fans should know better as well. You know, 100. At this point, be respectful of the person that's talking. They are a heel, but you know what your job is? You boo, you don't what at this point, but it is what it is. And Scott's advice is still valid. You do have to switch up your cadence. You got to pick up the rhythm of how you talk to make sure that you're drowning out that chant. A select few are able to do that in a very clever way, like a Drew McIntyre, for example. Mm-hmm. He could just go out there and say, hey, you ain't going to be doing this right now. There are ways to do it. And hopefully Piper with more time. And that's the thing, time to talk. That is something that she really hasn't had a chance to do in WWE, to express herself on the mic. And when you have that rare opportunity to do so, you want to make sure you have that freedom to really say what you want. She did, but unfortunately, what chance, cadence, all that played a role. But with more time, hopefully she'll get more comfortable. And therefore those chants won't be as loud and obnoxious moving forward.
Yep. So we'll see what happens next time. But yeah, it was a good promo though by Piper.
Yes, 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 yes. And as we always say on the show, cheddar biscuits for Bailey forever for life. Yes.
You see the video of her juggling and then doing the cornhole?
Yes, I sure did.
Respect. She can come to the cookout.
Yes. And we'll get to cookouts later on in this episode.
I'm just saying, she's doing tricks and stuff. She's
doing tricks. Yes, absolutely. As we get to the main event of SmackDown, which was the New Bloodline, we got Solo, we got Tonga, we got Tama versus Kevin Owens and the Street Profits. Very good main event, high flying action throughout, hard hitting as well. You know, Tama Tonga, I think the praise is valid. This guy has got on the main roster outside of Tasmanian Double Friday about a few weeks ago. He has improved in terms of, like, you know, the presence. In-ring work is good as well. And he just stands out. Presence for days. I love that for him. And of course, Street Profits are always going to ball out in the ring. Dawkins and Ford are great. Kevin Owens is a beast as well. But it came down to the Bloodline saying, we don't feel like, you know, getting pins tonight. We feel like causing mayhem and destruction. So we got a Shield Light powerbomb to Kevin Owens through the table, and a phantom picked up Kevin and he went through the table. Somebody didn't understand the assignment that it's a triple power bomb, not a two-man job, but I digress on that.
So again, we don't have to keep the Joey reference, but we're still here. So I'll do a wrestling reference. I'll do an old WWE reference. You know, he had LOD, you know, the legendary LOD. This is Heidenreich and Hawk. Okay? This is when they tried to do the new one. they had Heidenreich and was it Hawk or was it Animal that he teamed up with on SmackDown? Which one was it?
I'm trying to think.
Was it Hawk or Animal? It was one of them two that he teamed up with, and they tried to do another version. They're not even good enough to be called the Ascension of the LOD lore. They're not even good enough to be that. They are Heidenreich and whichever one of them he was teaming up with. That's where we're at right now with this bloodline. You did a triple power bomb with 2/3 of the triple. What's going on? This did not say two-thirds cup of butter. It said three cups, not 2/3, 3 cups. What are we doing right now, man? Like, it's like, again, Joey. This is Joey.
Joey is getting all the shade here, and rightfully so, because I was looking at
Friend
the powerbomb.
Friend sucks too, by the way. I'm sorry about the reference. Friend sucks too, but Joey's awful.
Wow.
Oh, Friends is terrible. Friends is terrible.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Let me listen to all of my friends, mutuals that love Friends. I didn't care for the show. I will tell you what the superior show is, and Scott will probably perhaps co-sign because it was first. Living Single is superior to Friends.
Oh for sure.
Come on.
What are we doing? It's not even... You're not going to get no backlash from that. You're not going to get no backlash from that. Who say a word to you? Let me not say that. Let me not say that. But yeah, no question. No question. Friends is a terrible show. Iconic. Iconic for what it is. And no, I'm not saying the bloodline was terrible, but just the iconic nature of it. And then Joey just being god-awful.
Yes, and canned after one season. So we're just going to forget that right there.
And that's going to happen here. This is going to be canned after one season.
It's going to be canceled after one season. Bloodline redo. It's going to be canceled. We're going to bring back the reboot, the OG Bloodline, when Roman Reigns comes home after the new Bloodline destroys Paul Heyman. We know that day is coming. There's going to be like 50-11 members of the Bloodline because we have Hikaleo showing up soon. We got Jacob Fatu coming as well. So listen, I'm going to need Jacob to slide over to OG Bloodline. He can't be a part of this new Bloodline. He can't.
Nah, he listen, I'm cool with him going with the new Bloodline because they're going to need somebody that's going to come in there and be like, oh my God, Roman might have a little trouble because what I'm looking at right now, Roman's going to come in there and be like, yo, Jay.
Jimmy, really?
Y'all serious right now?
Sammy.
Are y'all serious right
Rassie
now?
I see this.
So, because I need the Sammy reunion. You know, I need the moment of Sammy and Roman and Jay and Jimmy. Like, do you know how hype Jimmy and Jay going to be in the background seeing Sammy and Roman reunited, hug it out? You know how hype they're going to be back there eating and stuff? Come on. And then like them four versus Hikaleo, Fatu, and G.O.D. And actually, you could have Hikaleo on the outside and, you know, Fatu and then Solo. There's a lot of options you could do right there. I love it. Or you could do 5-on-5 and bring KO into the mix. So now you got KO and Sammy. Or you could have Cody Rhodes in there. There's so much you could do with this. But yeah, go ahead, slide 5-2, and we can get the OG bad. But yeah, this will be canceled after one season. For sure. You're daggone sure ain't getting 3 years out of this. I can tell you that.
No.
You might not get 3 months.
Young Rock will last longer than the new Bloodline.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
And that thing jumped the shark after season two. Just real talk. Good God.
This ain't getting to season two. So yeah, you're right. You're right about that.
Oh, goodness. So we basically just dragged the new Bloodline. This is like the equivalent of Baywatch Nights, which is the Bloodline. It's a bad spinoff. We had Mitch Buchanan become a detective when he's supposed to be saving people in the fucking water. And we got the new Bloodline just terrorizing people and half power bombing people through tables. So this is just not it.
It's not even, it's a 2/3 bomb.
It's a
2/3 B.
And another comparison, it's Saved by the Bell, the new class for the new Bloodline.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Just
All right. Shout out to Solo, man. Shout out to Solo.
Yes. Enjoy this while you can. That's all I'm going to say about that. And it's not that this bloodline is bad. They're not bad. You know, they do project threats. They do project being a threat. They do project being menacing. But in terms of like it being something that's going to last long term, it's got some longevity to it. No. Because when Roman comes back, all of this will be squashed immediately and we'll be happy about it. So we'll see how it goes as they navigate and try to work Roman back into this in the months to come. As we get to Monday Night Raw going down live from a sold out Toledo, Ohio. With all due respect to Toledo, Ohio, this show from a fan perspective was drier than the NXT Battleground show at the Apex for UFC. This is a very dreary crowd. You had good matches. They weren't very lively for them. Sign one was we had Drew McIntyre and Damian Priest come out there to cut promos ahead of their World Heavyweight Championship match at Clash at the Castle. And Damian Priest got what chance kind of threw him off a little bit. But then we have a challenge issued courtesy of Priest saying, hey, how about you and Finn Balor go at it tonight? And if you beat Finn, then the rest of the Judgment Day will be banned from ringside during our championship match. And Drew McIntyre likes the sound of that. The match is a go for later on tonight. But let's get to my favorite part of the show, which was the last temptation of Dirty Dominic Mysterio. So he stayed in the back in the Judgment Day clubhouse. And he walks in and he sees Liv Morgan sitting, tempting. And, you know, she wants to see Dominic later that night. Because we always said that Dom was a sub. But now he's going to be a double sub because, you know, Liv wants to call Dom daddy. Apparently, and she slides him the hotel key card, and Dominic is sweating bullets. He don't know what to do. So we have the rest of the Judgment Day roll up Finn and Carlito and JD, and you know Dom is talking about this hotel key card, and Carlito, best line of the night. That's cool. That's great for you, Dom. Go get you some, Dom. Go and get you some. Finn saying, don't do it. Do not go there. Do not give in to temptation. Think of Rhea. Think of mommy. Damian Priest is telling, hey, what's going on here? We shutting it down. We good. Then we find out that the hotel key card magically disappears. Or did it? We come back later in the show and EcoLife viewers noted that as the Judgment Day were doing their powwow, Phineas Balor swiped the card off the table.
Guy's name is not Phineas.
Phineas Balor. I had to call him that tonight. Phineas Balor swiped the card and kept it for himself. Now, did he keep it to prevent Dom from going to Liv's hotel room to do things? Or did, as we all keep suspecting, that Finn is cock blocking for a reason and therefore he swiped the card for himself?
Lot to unpack there. Couple things. Phineas, does that make JD Fern? So, because that's Phineas and Fern, right? Does that make JD Fern? Is that what we're doing? As far as the hotel room, did Finn enter in with the mask on, or does that go on after he goes in the room? I don't know the rules of engagement. Thirdly, was cameraman Riddle there? Because you know he's always around these Damian Judgment Day type parties, so you know we don't know what's going on. And Dominic Mysterio, let me just say, if he is innocent in all this, which I don't think he is, I think he's playing the game. But if he is innocent in all this, mommy, you got a strong man on your hands, and you should never question him ever again. He should get the full vacation to go play golf, anything he wants, because to be able to say no to these type of temptations, these type of temptations only come around every now and then. These are the type of temptations that Job had to face. These are the type of temptations that Adam failed at. These are the type of temptations that Cuba Gooding Jr. was fighting against when Beyonce was singing to him in the fighting temptations. These are the type of temptations that are preached about, okay? Let me tell you right now. Dominic Mysterio, you, my friend, are a strong brother. A strong brother. Because I'd have folded again at hello. the sly and the daddy. What are you doing? Like, my knees would have buckled. I'd have started shaking. My lip would have been quivering. It'd have been a wrap. It'd have been all a wrap. So, shout out to you, Dom. You a real one. You are a real one.
Never did I think that I would be doing a show about professional wrestling, and we would get a Job reference from the Bible on this show to explain the last temptation of Dirty Dominic Mysterio, because Liv Morgan was making that man sweat. And as you said, Dirty Dom is one of our strongest soldiers to stand firm in his convictions. And he was standing firm, all right. Standing firm in his convictions. That's what you said. Standing strong in his truth, not to bend or break yet. And he's trying to hold on, but you see he's wavering, and you see him looking at the corner of his eye as Liv walks away. And why wouldn't you? Because
it's only so much a man can take. Okay. There's only so much a man can do.
Yes. Because let me tell you something. During our early days of this show, Scott too was one of our strongest soldiers. And, you know, he wasn't all into Liv Morgan like that. But when she wielded a baseball bat, that man was converted and he has been saved and he has seen the light of Liv Morgan. And now he is saying, Dominic, you're fighting for all men everywhere to just kind of stand down and stay strong.
You're fighting a losing cause, bro. Fighting a losing cause, you got to get out of there. You're not going to win this fight. You need to get out of there. You need to stay home. You need to just stay home if you know what's good for you. And let me tell you something. The best bit of advice that I can give you is stay away from your nasty uncle. Stay away from your nasty uncle, okay? Uncle Carlito is not good for you. Stay away from him.
Carlito saying, go do it. Like, that is cool. Like, he was like, yeah.
The boy eyes lit up when he saw that. Oh, that's cool. That boy got excited.
Oh, man. Carlito's like one of the best parts of Judgment Day. He really is. Great addition. Yeah, so that happened. We'll see what happens next week regarding the mysterious missing hotel key card that Finn swiped. And I'm sure someday soon there'll be surveillance cameras magically at the hotel to reveal if Finn went in.
Shout out to MLW, Matt Riddle.
The nerve, the gall, and the gumption of you. As we segue to Io Sky versus Lara Valkyria, rematch from a few weeks ago. And we have Io going on this crazy streak, just being mad all the time, because she got mad that Lyra beat her in the Queen of the Ring tournament semifinals a few weeks ago. And so she goes out there and they have a really good match as always. Crowd is dry. And we have Dakota Kai causing trouble for Lyra. But it comes down to Io Sky scoring the roll up for the victory, but she is still not happy. She's backstage freaking out. And I kind of love Io wild and crazy, because that's when she's at her best.
Good. Torn on it. I know Io needed the bounce back win. She gave her the big win in the tournament, but now we're back to 50-50 booking. I would have rather just have Io, you know, beat Lyra than come back and beat her here again. Or honestly, I didn't have Lyra win. Like, I'm just not a fan of the 50-50 book and not a fan of the rubber match, which we're probably going to end up getting, but the match was fine.
This was fine for what it was, you know, not as good as their match a couple of weeks ago in the semifinals of the Queen of the Ring tournament, but still very good action. Hopefully that Lyra gets a bounce back victory soon. And Io Sky is getting that rub right now, rightfully so, as the former WWE Women's Champion. As we move on to the party match of the night, which was the LWO's Rey Mysterio, Dragon Lee, and honorary member Braun Strowman versus the Judgment Day's JD McDonagh, a clear Dominic Mysterio, and the honorary member Carlito. This was a very fun match. Everybody shined in a very good way. Braun Strowman, you know what? I enjoy his work the second time around in WWE. I've said that before. I will say I think he's put on a bit too much muscle mass upon his return. He's a bit bigger than before. He's still solid. He still is solid, but just carrying a lot of weight around and the running, you know, he's not fast as he was, you know, during his early run in WWE. So when you're having that weight on you and you're running around trying to knock people down, it's, you know, a little slower, a little plodding. But of course, he helps Dragon Lee get the win, and it's a very good match. But we got to talk about Liv Morgan coming out and tempting Dominic Mysterio. And we have Zelina Vega boot Liv onto the lap of Dominic on the floor. And as Scott alluded to earlier, strong man, a man of strong resolve, faith, to know that he was able to say, no, thy shall not give in to temptation. I shall not grab on thy Liv. Thou shall not kiss her back. Thou shall have her off of my lap. And then her and Zelina get into it. That's going to build up to a match, I presume, very soon. And then we get the baby faces with the W and more of the soap opera drama surrounding Dirty Dom and Liv Morgan. How long will Dominic last until he breaks?
Well, I think that's a very personal question between the two of them. I think that's a very personal question. We might be seeing a him sponsorship coming up on WWE Raw here soon or something. You never know. But we know if it's Dirty Dom, we know what's going on. Listen, this whole thing is it is what it is. You know, First, he was being dominated, like you said, and now this is a completely different approach. This is now putting him on the pedestal instead of him worshiping the pedestal. You know, the whole thing with Rhea is she was the one on the pedestal and he was, you know, essentially worshiping her. And now he's got someone giving him that same treatment and he doesn't really know how to go at it because he likes it. Like that's the thing about, like, when you're so used to giving someone all your attention, all your praise, and just giving them constant, showering them with love. And then somebody is constantly showering you with love. Like, let's not forget the week before, Liv Morgan stepped in front of Braun Strowman for that man. So, like, things are happening. And it's not just a completely sexual thing. Like, the attention, the affection, stuff like that, that all matters. Like, that all adds to it and is slowly kind of turning, like, making Dom more intrigued. Like, you see, he's not pushing her off as much as he did the first couple weeks. Now it's kind of a, you can sit here for a minute. You can sit on top of me for a minute until I wait for everybody to come get you. That's fine, you know? That's cool. The match itself was fine. I think Braun Strowman thought he was going to have his tag team partner back, but he's gone. So Braun might be looking for a new tag team partner in the meantime.
Yeah, I kind of figured he thought that Ricochet was going to stick around and be his tag team partner. And they did produce some really fun tag team matches together. But yeah, his partner's heading out the door, as we'll get to momentarily, as we get some ethos and pathos and some motivation from Brother Otis. So Sami Zayn is trying to free the shackles of the Alpha Academy from Chad Gable. And they realize, Sammy, you really didn't mean a bump into us last week. We know that Chad did it, but they won't free themselves. And Sammy talks to Otis. He's kind of tired of Otis's excuses, but Otis goes into the why that Chad Gable picked him up when he was at his lowest. He talked about losing the Money in the Bank briefcase, losing Tucker, losing his peach from a few years ago. So he's lost everything. And then Chad Gable picked up the pieces and kind of saved his career in a lot of ways. And they've had success as a tag team, both as heels and as baby faces. So basically, Otis owes Chad Gable his career and his mind. And Sammy says, well, I guess there's no convincing you otherwise. Now, you're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to have to figure this out on your own, but you owe him nothing. You are more than nothing, Otis. You are somebody. Don't ever think that you are worthless, because you are worth so much more than you think. So that leads to Otis versus Sami Zayn. Sami gets another promo in the ring, leads to this match here. Good action throughout, but of course, it's all about getting that heat ahead of Clash at the Castle with Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. And of course, Otis is still debating whether or not he should leave his leader and be his own man. More tension there, which is good. And the fans were alert for that. I will give them credit. Golf claps there. And I like this feud a lot. And this is compelling television. And the fact that the writers behind the scenes in WWE remembered everything that Otis went through 4 years ago that led him to the Alpha Academy in the first place. We saw all of those things play out, and it all makes sense as to why Otis is so damn loyal to Chad Gable, who doesn't give a damn about him.
Yeah, this was a good segment. Continuing to build to Otis finally laying out Chad. And the match at Clash, I think, will be a really good one as far as Sammy and Gable go. So, yeah, everything move the story forward as it should.
I think their match is going to be great. They're going to get probably like a good 15, maybe 20 minutes to go out there and ball out. And we know Otis is going to play a role in the finish. Would that be the moment he just steps up and says enough is enough? We'll see. The crowd's going to be there for the support, obviously. So we'll see how it goes. But really good storyline and great backstory as well to really enhance things as well. As we get to Zoe Stark and Shayna Baszler versus... this is actually their name. They're not the witches, Scott. The unholy union, Alba Fire and Aladon. And how unholy it was as they lost.
I don't care. I didn't care Friday on SmackDown. Don't care now on Monday. It's Tuesday now recording this, and I still don't care. They had a WWE speed match on Raw. Don't care. You couldn't even give them a nice victory on the way to their hometown. So again, you don't care. No reason for me to care.
And we talked about that for sure. I don't care. Like, I don't care about Gallus. Scott doesn't care about this. It is level. And we're just moving on now. It was nice to see Bianca Belair and Jay Cargill at ringside. Their entrance was the highlight of this match. That was that. And then we get to the best match of the night, which was Ilya Dragunov versus Braun Breaker. This match was great. The crowd let me down. Like, you got these two guys out there whooping the hell out of each other. And you just sit there. You do like a, this is awesome. This is, yeah, yeah, just so quiet. I know that y'all not familiar with Dragunov and Breaker, but damn, appreciate what you are seeing, which is great professional wrestling, beautiful violence, great physicality. These guys go out there and they put on a show. Dragunov is great. And Braun Breaker, as we have said, he is going to be that guy imminently. And he's carrying himself like a star. And I think any concern we had about this guy floundering on the main roster, that's done. This guy has got next. And the people see it. And I think management sees it too. And they're going to fast track this guy to the tippy top, as they should, because he's got it. Simple as that. Really good match. Of course, Braun hits a spear on Dragunov to get the W after the match is over. Ricochet goes for his pound of flesh on Breaker after the previous week's attacks, and he gets the upper hand, thinking, oh my gosh, Ricochet is actually going to leave on a happy note. Oh no, that was not the case, because dude got destroyed in the parking lot, one of the more dangerous places in WWE, whether you are on Raw, SmackDown, or NXT, and he got whooped. Destroyed, got thrown against a trailer, got thrown through the windshield of a car. And Samantha Irvin, who is Ricochet's fiance, said, you know what? My man is in distress. I can no longer announce matches tonight. I'm going to go in the ambulance and I'm going to go and check on my honey. And that was it, as Ricochet was stretched out on an ambulance. And that will be probably the last time we will see Ricochet in WWE. He gave notice, according to a report by PW Insider, that he is not going to be signing a new contract with WWE. He will be a free agent imminently. And to that, I say good luck to Ricochet. He's 35 years old. And I understand not wanting to be the gatekeeper. If you think that you have value elsewhere, go out there and pursue it. What I would do personally is I wouldn't lock myself down to a contract with one company. I would be a freelance wrestler and I'll get my bags any which way I can and have that kind of autonomy moving forward. Because my fear is, I know the sexy choice is AEW and the Ospreay match is right there. But in terms of booking consistency, that's where my concern is. After that match is over, where does Ricochet go from here in terms of booking? So for me, don't sign a real contract, be a freelancer, get your match, get your bag, but also have the flexibility to work where you want to work at your own schedule and then open that door to WWE when the time comes once again.
Yeah, if when he does sign to AEW, if he doesn't debut by them backing up an ambulance and then coming back out through the ambulance, it's a huge missed opportunity. Also, looking forward to Prince Puma versus Killshot in the Lucha Underground themed episode of AEW Dynamite that will be coming out soon as well. Listen, he's where he's at right now is where he's going to be in AEW. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a fine lateral move. It's fresh matchups. He'll have some bangers that he can do. He can still do the New Japan thing. I'm with you. I think he can absolutely just run rampant, pick up spots where he wants to. It's not like he can't call Tony and be like, yo, you got anything available? Can I come be on the show? And like Tony Khan would love to have him on the show, you know, a couple one-offs here and there. So yeah, I'm with you on that, but I fully expect him to go and he'll do fine over there. Like there are a lot of intriguing matchups over there, but he's going to be in the same spot he is probably in WWE, maybe a little bit lower. I mean, that roster over there is stacked as it is. You got Okada and Ospreay as your second and third, you know, champion. So where exactly does a Ricochet fit in there? So again, it's a lateral movement, which is fine. His happiness in the bag is the most important thing. I will say this though. Where I draw the line in the sand as far as everything goes is you can have your Ricochet. You can have your Prince Puma. Where the line in the sand is drawn is you cannot have Samantha. You cannot have Samantha. Okay, I know what this is. Nobody wants Justin Roberts anymore, so I know what this is. Okay, you cannot poach away into getting into Ricochet. Like, yo, Ricochet, tell your wife to come on over here and think about her announcing you at Wembley. Come on. No, you're not taking Samantha. Samantha is staying at WWE. You're not taking her. You can have Ricochet. Shout out to Ricochet. Go get your bag. Go get the bag. Go get double whatever WWE was going to pay you. But you're not taking Samantha. That's where the line is drawn.
For real. We're not playing. Like, Samantha is God tier in WWE. Lillian Garcia legit passed the torch to her to say, you got next as one of the greats to ever do this as a ring announcer. We're not losing Samantha. I wish her and Ricochet the best of love as they see each other maximum four times a week moving forward. That's great, but I'm good. You know, leave her where she is. She is happy. She is content. She is great in WWE. We're not sending Samantha to AEW because we know that she'll kill the announcing game there. I need my good sis still in WWE, plain and simple. As we now get to our main event of Monday Night Raw, which was Drew McIntyre versus Finn Balor. If Finn Balor wins, Judgment Day chicanery at Clash at the Castle. If Drew McIntyre wins, Judgment Day is banned from ringside. Very good match. Once again, crowd is kind of dry. In this case, it's kind of a heel versus heel matchup. You don't know who you're rooting for. You're chanting for CM Punk in some ways as well. So it's like a bundle of confusion. But nice attention to detail is Pat McAfee filled in for Samantha with his unique announcing style, calling Drew McIntyre a big, handsome bastard. And then we have Finn Balor representing the bum-ass Judgment Day. That was probably peak McAfee. And I hate to say this about Pat. He has become Matt Stryker. He is now a gimmick. I hate to say that. He's now a gimmick.
I don't know how I feel about that because I didn't mind Matt Stryker. I
love Matt. But he became.
Yeah, I didn't mind Matt Stryker. I thought he was all right. I think he, like, the hate that Excalibur gets, I don't get, because he's Matt Stryker was essentially Excalibur before Excalibur, just nerds on the mic talking about moves that nobody's ever heard of. Like, that's essentially what they are. And so I don't hate Matt Stryker, but I don't know if he's quite a gimmick. He's not Jerry the King. You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's out there like, oh, puppies. You know, he's not doing nothing crazy like that. But I don't know if he's quite a gimmick. He's definitely a hype man. I absolutely think he's a hype man out there. What makes you think he's a gimmick?
Because I think since he's come back to WWE, out of being out of the bubble because of his other obligations with his radio show and college football Saturday, being out the bubble and coming back, it feels a little bit forced. But when he first started in WWE, it was way more natural and more believable, organic, with him being a fan and then kind of being relatable in that role. Now it's like he's shouting out words and he's doing it a little bit too much for me and just trying a bit too hard to be funny and relevant. And I think that's not who Pat McAfee is. I think he's kind of lost his way because he stepped out of the announce table to do other things, which I totally understand. But getting back in, it feels like he's trying a bit too hard to be cool and relevant and trying to, you know, be the topic of discussion and conversation for me.
Okay. All right. I get that. As long as we're not talking about Caitlin Clark, we should be good as far as Pat McAfee goes. So, you know, even though the same night he called somebody that the same night. I was like,
yes, he did. Read the room.
Man. Yeah. Come on, man. Just at least for that week, just lay off of it for that week after that. But yeah, all right, I get it. That's completely understandable. He's definitely not that same Pat. But yeah, I was just curious as to why you thought why he's become a gimmick.
Yeah.
At least he hasn't quite reached Coachman levels.
Oh, no. Like, that's a special level of, like, you come back to WWE with ESPN credentials, and then you don't use those credentials at all. And it's just terrible. And it's like, I was pulling for Coach, and then, like, you bring this energy back? No. But Pat is, like, trying too hard. Calm down. Realize what made you special in the beginning and refine that. There are moments when he does that, when he does like the low telestrator, like that's him at his best. And even with the announcing, that's good. But when it's just him calling matches and calling Braun Strowman a big son of, like, repeatedly, it's a gimmick. Like, stick to what you're good at, dude. Stick in the pocket. Don't force it as much. And then you'll be good to go. That's how you become a gimmick, when you lose what made you special in the first place. But the match itself was very good, you know, lacked crowd heat, obviously. And then we had interference galore, courtesy of Judgment Day once again. And then it comes down to Drew McIntyre landing a claymore on Finn Balor. And Judgment Day goes bye-bye, heading into Clash at the Castle with Drew McIntyre going up against Damian Priest for the World Heavyweight Championship. And do you think, as we'll get to later during our preview, that Drew McIntyre will be coronated in his homeland?
I don't know. I'm torn on it. I think match placement will play a part in it, especially if it doesn't go on last. But I'm torn, man, because if Judgment Day was around, I'd say he beat the odds and he becomes champion. But with them being banned, it's everything is set up for him to be champion. You got to get CM Punk on the show. I can't imagine they don't have CM Punk come out there. So I don't know yet. I don't know. I'm still teetering back and forth. I'll have to give you my answer at the end.
All right. And that's what we're going to be doing. All right. All right. All right. We're going to be doing that at the end, as we now segue to NXT going down live from the WWE PC in Orlando, Florida. Thought this was a very good edition of NXT. Like several of the matches, and I think somebody had a career best match on the show, which I'll get to momentarily, as we kick things off with the new NXT Women's North American Champion, Kalani Jordan, cuts a babyface promo about winning, defying the odds, and it was a nice promo. Fans were very respectful. Then we have Jada Parker coming out there, and she's just throwing shots, which I love. And, you know, she says, I got next. This is a fluke. Oh, you climbed the ladder like a squirrel. Good for you, Kalani. You climbed the ladder the fastest. Boo. And then we have Mishin come out there, attack Jada Parker from behind, leads to that matchup to kick off the show. Like the action throughout this match, Mishin took a nasty bump after a hip attack by Jada Parker, which led to the Good Brothers coming out there to support Mishin. We had Jada Parker go for a steel chair, and we have Carl Anderson grab chair, Luke Gallows on the apron, which allows Mishin to roll up Jada Parker for the victory, slap those cheeks too for emphasis as well, got the W, and she will face Kalani Jordan for the NXT Women's North American Championship next Tuesday on USA. Scott called it. Will Kalani lose? I don't think so, because Jada Parker is going to interfere, and it's going to be a mixed tag team match of Out the Mud versus Good Brothers and Mishin very soon. So therefore, Scott, Kalani will survive her first championship defense.
Yeah, I called the right challenger for the first offense. I guess all of a sudden Good Brothers had a change of heart after getting the piss beat out of them by Axiom and Nathan Frazier. So I guess they're good guys all of a sudden. I don't know. I still would like to see Mishin. Because I'm going to be honest with you, Jada came off as a babyface in that backstage promo she cut with OTM, because she was talking about how, oh, you know, the guys were like, oh, you know, that's our fault. We weren't out there. But she said, no, that's not on you. I do this myself. Like, I handle mine. She doesn't. Like, that came off very babyface to me. So maybe we might be in for a little bit of a double turn. I'm going to still stick with Mishin pulling off the upset next week. Good Brothers interfere. They come out there, cause a distraction for her to win. I'm going to still go with them, because I think maybe Jada might be on to a little bit of a babyface turn on the way.
That is potentially a possibility, but baby faces don't grab steel chairs. She got to get that out of her system.
Hey, no. Dumb baby faces don't grab steel chairs. Smart baby faces will do whatever it takes to win that match.
Now, see, you making excuses because that's your client and you have crushy crush on her. But that, no. Okay. I'm trying to save you here.
You got to save me. You got to save me. I got my life vest on. I know how to swim. You got to save me.
Okay. You got your life preserver. Are you going to stay afloat?
I'm going to stay above water. Hey, your boy been doggy paddling for 30 something years. Your boy got it. I'm killing it in the ocean right now.
You'll kick your feet. No sharks. You're going to paddle. You're going to do what you got to do to stay above water. Okay.
Hey, I'm out here.
The bravery of you. I admire that. So he said, not little. I like her a lot. Let it be known. Okay.
Let it be known.
But she's still a dumb baby face. If you're going to call her that because you grabbed the chair, that's dumb. You can't let that slide. She was doing dumb things. Now, when she wins smartly as a baby face, then we can have a conversation. But until that happens, dumb potential baby face move. As we get to the best match of the night. Yes, I gave Gallus props because their opponents were Tyler Bate, Pete Dunne, and Wesley, and they tore it up. Fans hot for it. Action very good. Tyler Bate spinning Mark Coffey around like it ain't nothing. I really appreciated that. So love the action, love the dives, loved everything everybody did. And then it came down to Joe Coffey, Booker T's favorite Folgers wrestler. Going to hit that clothesline on Wesley, who had the win because he took a dive on the outside to everybody, kind of came back to bite him in the butt, and he got pinned by Mr. Coffee Joe. And that was the crowd when it was over. There was like, Gallus won. My exact reaction, because that match was fire until Gallus won.
Gallus has more victories than the unholy dynasty or duo, whatever you call them, have in the last 3 years. So I don't hear nothing about it. But I mean, I give it touche. This is probably my second favorite match of the night. Good recovery victory for Gallus. I'm glad that Wesley didn't get the victory. So that way it kind of builds more to the MSK reunion that's going to come out of this. And Dallas is a good six man. I will say, after watching this match, like, those three are just very interchangeable. And I think that could be the biggest issue, is that there's just three interchangeable guys, and they don't have that standout guy, that kind of that leader of the pack. They're like the three hyenas from the Lion King. You know, they don't have their scar. They need a scar to really stand out. As it is, they're just the three hyenas. They're dangerous on their own, but they don't have that scar if they face a real lion. So I get what you're saying.
The hyenas have more charisma.
That may be true. I mean, Whoopi Goldberg got, you know, that's a lot of charisma right there from Whoopi.
Yes, when she said Mufasa. Ooh, yeah. Come on now.
That's a lot of energy right there. Yes. That's not a fair comparison. I mean, we talking Sister Act. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Like, that ain't fair. That ain't fair. Joe Coffey, Sister Act.
Okay. Since you mentioned Sister Act, is it going to be Sister Act 1 or 2 or Joe Coffey? Pick it. Which Sister Act is superior?
I got two as well.
I got two, okay?
I got two. Even though old boy is his little high-pitched self is iconic, I got two.
Not his high-pitched self is iconic.
It is, yes, though.
Like, it is iconic.
That's a great
listen,
scene.
When that boy hit that note and she turned her head around like, that boy got that kind of vocals?
He went from through. Here to here.
Like, yes, whoa. Yes, he did. Iconic movie moment. Never forget it, okay? Oh, happy shout day. Out, it was out, a happy shout day. Shout out to Whoopi. Shout out to Sister Act 2, the superior sequel, which I love. Cult classic, by the way. And Rita, yeah, she went without that permission slip. We ain't gonna forget that. Mama said, singing don't pay the bills. Lies.
Yeah, get your permission slip signed. Let me tell you something. don't be setting your teachers up like that, because your teachers cross, get fired for that.
Listen, cross the state lines.
You get fired and they go to jail.
Yes, that is a felony.
That's time.
I remember, quick story. It was a snow week, and school wasn't closed, but my mom, may she rest, she was like, okay, I'm gonna keep you home all week from school, right? Field trip. Permission slip. Keela, it's too late. You can't go. I was one of two people in the classroom as my classmates went somewhere, and I was all alone. It is not a good feeling at all. It's a horrible feeling. It sucks. Like, I sat out of school. Yes, it's in school suspension, and I had the permission slip, but it was too late. It was too late to submit, because you got to get the names rounded up, and I couldn't go. I was in the classroom by myself as my classmates came back with gifts, and I didn't get shit. So I was very sad about that. So, yes, please do not undervalue the importance of having your parents sign your permission slip and turning it in a timely fashion, because you will be deprived of a good field trip. Okay? Learn that lesson. All right. That was random, but it was important to talk about. As we get to now, the new Wendy Chu versus Brinley Reese. Scott is...
What do you want me to do?
I don't know.
It was the bride of Chucky versus the girl from the porno.
What?
Listen, you've seen the video, you've seen the picture of the one white girl in the middle, and you got the group of black guys.
That's what it was.
And then you had the bride of Chucky on the other side. That's where we're at. She's either that or she's a Mortal Kombat character. Which one do you want?
No,
She's
Katana, okay?
Okay.
That visual, dude.
Yeah. Am I wrong?
That is egregious. No, I am not gonna be saying that. No, I won't. You of the levels of trying it on this live stream.
Why did they put her in the middle like that?
Listen, we got to talk to Chef HBK about that, because those were choices.
Doing pull-ups on his shoulders. Come on, man. Like, what?
I'm not going to say the thing on the show, so I'm going to leave that alone.
They turned her into an Oreo.
I refrained from commenting. I saw it. Don't mean I'm going to say anything about it. I refrain comment on that. Okay. What I will say is that Winnie Chu is back. She's lost a lot of sleep in the last year. I mean, she's sleep deprived. She's become a zombie. She's now Tiffany Valentine, Bride of Chucky. Stitches on the lips, looking crazy, a bit more violent. Now, Wendy, my girl, if you are going to go full on dark side, you can't incorporate the sleeping gimmick into your moveset anymore. You got to let that go. You're going to do like a pillow dive and then lay on her. Like, no, you got to eliminate that shit from your offense. You got to be a killer out there. You got to go out there and smash. What she did, Cobra Clutch put Brinley to sleep and got the W, and she did not break character one time. The one thing I would say for Wendy Chu is that she will always understand the character assignment, okay? Whether she was that old 5,000-year-old lady sitting in that chair, or she was Karen Q, or Wendy Chu, or Wendy Chu who now, she always understands the assignment.
Karen Q counts, sounds like a Carmen Sandiego character. I don't know, man. She probably gonna go to TNA and kill somebody.
Like, yes, she should.
Literally. I mean, that's what they do in TNA. They kill people.
Yes, they do. Multiple felonies.
Yeah, a lot. Didn't Chelsea die?
Yes.
Didn't Chelsea get killed off in TNA?
Yes.
Remember? Her throat got slit, right?
Well, that was a gory death. One got stabbed in the chest.
Or maybe she was the one who got stabbed in the chest. I don't remember if her throat got slit or if she got stabbed in the chest. I can't remember. But yeah, I feel like they need to get their crossover with Chucky out the way, because is she going to Riverdale when we move to CW? Is that what's going on? Are we setting her up is she going to be the next villain in season 8 of Riverdale? I'm good. At least she don't have powers, so I'll say that. At least she ain't got no powers yet, but it's cool, I guess. Why she still got her pajamas on?
That's a good question, Scott. Those are important questions you're asking, and I don't have the answer because it's stupid. Like, I want her to relinquish the sleeping gimmick, all of it.
I don't mind the sleeping gimmick. I'm cool with the sleeping gimmick, but if you undead, why you got pajamas on still?
That's what I'm saying. That's why the gimmick got to go. You got to change your pajamas. You got to change everything. You can't incorporate what you were and just say, let me slap on some makeup and just... No, you have to incorporate who you are now. That means getting rid of the sleeping gear. That means getting rid of the sleeping offense. You got to go out there and just murk people. She did that, but you just got to clean up elements of this gimmick. That's all I'm saying.
All that being said, cheddar biscuits for her.
Absolutely, 100%, all day long. Good to see Winnie Chu back.
Great.
Yes, see, you need to calm down, boy.
You was about to say yes, they did.
Well, they did, but down, boy. Okay,
she looked great. Great return.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Look at you. All right, as we get to Cody Rhodes coming out, and he is just out there talking, being a cheerleader. Get those ratings up because, you know, no competition will be tomorrow for AEW. So you're trying to win the demo war. See ya. Wink, wink. Then we got Trick Williams coming out too, a great pop. And he's talking to Cody about what it's like to be champion. That when you reach the mountain, when you reach the very top, people are starting to come for you. How do you handle that? How do you handle the pressures of being champion when everybody wants what you have? And Cody says, well, people think that they can wear that better than you. They can do it better than you. And they can do it better than me. There's people back there to think they are better than us. But you got to realize that the fight's never over. There's one mountain to climb. Then there's another mountain to climb as well that involves going up against these people that think they are better than the both of us. But we got this, right? And speaking of me being here tonight, your next opponent will be decided in a 25-man battle royal that will feature talent from multiple locker rooms. Sounds like another TNA situation next Tuesday night. And then before Cody can leave, Trick Williams asks one of life's great questions to Cody Rhodes. Trick mentions the 4th of July is coming up. And I thought to myself, self, are we about to get a Great American Bash plug? No, we're not getting that. Because Trick Williams formally invites Cody Rhodes to the cookout. And the fans chant yes to Cody getting an invitation to the cookout. And I am not talking about the cookout restaurant. I'm talking about the hood cookout. And Cody says yes, daps up Trick like a brother would, and they raise up their championships to end the official coronation of Cody Rhodes as an honorary brother.
It's the coronation. So a couple things. The cameraman, that was a choice to go to those white folk when he said if you wanted to go to the cookout and show how excited they got when they were like, oh yeah, the cookout, because we don't get invited, but Cody, we can live through you. Go, yeah, yes, yes. Don't feel bad. I don't get a lot of invites to the cookout too, even though I'm supposed to. So don't feel bad. But yeah, this is cool. It was, you know, champion to champion. I thought we might get, you know, I thought Trick might start to get a little, you know, hey, but since you were around, what's good? But it was fine. Nice little back and forth segment. If I had to go out on a limb, I'll say Eric Young next week wins the over the top battle royal. He's somebody who hates Vince McMahon, but I could see him rocking with Triple H now that Vince is completely gone and banned. I can see Eric Young coming back and getting a nice little main event spot versus Trick Williams. And he's a veteran who could have a good match with him. So I'm going to go with Eric Young for a underdog fantasy pick for next week's Battle Royal.
All right. I'm all in on that. Will it be Eric Young? I don't know. I don't know. I'm intrigued. I think it's going to be a big name, though, a very big, splashy name.
You think it's going to be a big name?
Like a big TNA name.
Like
Eddie Edwards, maybe. Joe Henry is getting a lot of attention. So.
Say his name, man.
Say his name, yes.
Would they do a Moose?
Ooh, would they? Maybe.
Now. You know, I felt upset, you know, one way about Jordynne Grace losing. Moose doesn't come over and lose.
So, oh, no.
If you're going to do Moose, that's cool. But he shouldn't be losing at all, period, to anybody. I still think Eric Young. But if you think it's a big name, I'd like to see it. I'd like to see a big name come through and win it. I think that would be a huge thing.
It'll send shockwaves in a good way. So I think they got a name that's going to shock some people in a good way. So we'll see how they play it next Tuesday for this 25-man battle royal. As we get to my second favorite match of the night, I cannot believe I'm saying these words, but Dante Chin and Lexus King in a Singapore cane match delivered in a big way. These guys went out there and they beat the hell out of each other with the Singapore canes. Poor Dante Chin took it hard. And then we had Alexis King take those shots too. And I thought this was Lex's best performance on NXT to date. Dante Chin is over due to his work on Level Up and is resonating with the people at the PC for the big NXT show. And I thought both guys rose to the occasion. Use the gimmicks well, didn't do too much, did just enough. And then we had Lexus King use his scepter to low blow Dante Chin, use it again for a shot and the finish for the win. So overall, I really enjoyed this match.
It was okay. Didn't really do a lot for me. Dante Chin does nothing for me. I don't think he's that good. Doesn't really have a lot of, you know, aura to him for me. He's just kind of there. So, a nice win for Lexus King, but didn't really do a lot for me.
Well, look at me being overly optimistic and praiseful. One of us got to do it here on this show. All right. I'll bite the bullet and show Lexus King some love, which I begrudge, by the way, because you know I hate that man's beard. But it's getting better. It's getting less egregious. But as we move on to our next segment on the show, which is something that I did not like in terms of the finish. It was Javon Evans versus Sean Spears. This was a good match. Javon is great, as we've said before. Great potential. Hits a cutter out of nowhere. Thought he had the win, was going for his finisher. And then he goes on the outside, dives, and hits the edge of the announce table. Sean Spears takes advantage of that. Hits a C4 for the 1-2-3. I kind of disapprove of this finish and the win, but I digress.
See, this is probably my favorite match of the night. I thought this is exactly how a veteran and a young high flyer match should go. Like, the veteran tried to keep it as grounded as possible, and he just waited on mistakes. Every time there was a mistake from some type of high flying move, Sean Spears was there. Like, he sprungboard him off the rope and caught him into the DDT earlier in the match. Like, everything that happened in this match was just Sean Spears being a veteran and waiting on his spots. Like, commentators talk about that a lot in matches. This is a match that actually had that, where the high flying literally went right into the finish. So I really enjoyed this match, especially they've built up Evans and Sean Spears. He needed this win. So I think they did a real good job with that. And when he does get that victory back, because that's something that you can build back to, it'll be a big deal. And Evans can take any loss right now, especially the way he's stepping up. He's a babyface who's defending other babyfaces. That's how this match came about. But I really like the finish, him going for that splash, hitting the announce table, and then Spears just quickly reacting, going right to his finish for the 1-2-3.
Yeah. I liked it. Just wasn't a fan of the finish, because who's going to be more over long term is going to be Javon and Sean Spears. That's my only disagreement there. But otherwise, really good match as well. I will say that. I want to circle back to Eddie Thorpe versus Tavion Heights. Solid match. Surprisingly competitive. I was like, okay, Eddie Thorpe is back and it's competitive. I will say, like, the dance went hard, though. The dance entrance was like fire. I'm not going to lie. That was really good. Like that. Good victory for Eddie, but way too competitive. And then after the match is over, we had the No Quarter Catch Crew. That's their name, right? Just want to confirm that, because they're down to 75 cents now because somebody got, you know, killed off. So we have Charlie Dempsey trying to recruit Tavion Heights. And we got homeboy, what's his name? Escaping my mind right now.
Which one?
Damon Kemp, there he is. And he's talking about, are you sure about that? She want to bring in somebody else. And I said, you should talk, because you lost last week 2 falls to Tony D. So let me handle my business here. They're trying to give Charlie Dempsey some more personality, which is good. And then the gimmick of y'all ain't right. Y'all ain't right. Y'all better leave my boy Miles alone, man. Y'all better leave him alone. That man, you know he can't hear for real. And y'all trying to make that into a gimmick. Y'all ain't right. Y'all going to hell, but that's okay.
He probably likes it. Like, he's probably been making jokes like this his whole life. But it happened. It's fine. It is what it is. Shout out to Charlie.
Yes. Shout out to Charles. To your dad. William Regals, who we love. We love Regs here. As we get to the main event segment, which was the state of the NXT Women's Division address, as it was Roxanne Perez. Scott, I can already tell, like, yeah, I was not feeling it either. I was like, this is the main event angle here, talking about how great she is and nobody's on her level and blah, 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 blah. And Ava comes out and, you know, she wants to be thanked by Ava for retaining the championship, keeping it out of TNA's grasp. And it was like, blah, 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 blah. And then we have Lash and Jakara and Lola and JC Jane, who Cody Rhodes, by the way, gave his mask to carry on the legacy of face masks in WWE, so she can be undashing JC Jane. We got Jasmine Nix out there, and they're talking about Roxanne taking credit. It's like, you know, we don't need to do a Caitlin Clark watered down redo here. on NXT about who established what, when, where, and how. Before there was you, there was me, blah, blah, blah. A fight ensues and it's over and yay.
Couple things. As far as JC, you do know he gave you that mask not to wear over the other mask.
So
what? Like what are we doing, man? Like, she really came out there and put the mask on top of the other mask. Like, why would you think that's all right? And then everybody came out in twos. So I don't know what's up with that. Are they going for the tag titles? Were the tag champs up in the balcony up there? Because nobody's used that in a while. Were they up there waiting or something? Because everybody came out in twos. This was awful, terrible, waste of time. Why did Ava come out there? What was her purpose? Just that was awful. I do want to go back to a backstage segment, which was better than this, of Cody Rhodes talking to Sean, Ethan, and Lexus. And he went on to say, I think you guys are in a better spot here. And we'll see about that. Sean Spears hasn't had any main events, any PLEs yet. He hasn't had to bash anybody in the back of the head with a chair, so that's good. Lexus King hasn't had any forgettable tag team partners, so I guess they are off to a better start than they were before.
And their fates shall be determined in due time. Let's be very clear on that as well. So for now, they're in a good spot. Will it be that way long term? We don't know. We shall see about that. This wraps up a good NXT. Outside of the very choosy and choicy main event of it all, as we now get to the last part of our show, which is Clash at the Castle 2024 going down in Scotland this Saturday on Peacock, 2 p.m. Eastern time, 11 Pacific time on Peacock. And the lineup is as follows. We got 5 matches, which tends to be the Triple H special for these international PLEs. We got first up, Bianca Belair and Jay Cargill defending the WWE Women's Tag Team Championships against Alba Fire and Isla Dawn, and Shayna Baszler, Zoe Stark, Bianca and Jade. That is all there is to it, and that's all it's going to be.
Yeah, the BQ wins, Black Queens. They're going to take this one, and I'm expecting the faculty, the unholy faculty. The unholy duo, the witchcraft, the witches of Western Salem, Hocus Pocus, whatever you want to call them. I'm expecting them to take the pinfall loss.
Very possible, most definitely, and expected as well. As we get to our next matchup, which will be Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable with Otis, Akira Tozawa, and Maxxine Dupri making the trip this time in a singles match for the WWE Intercontinental Championship. I got Sami Zayn retaining.
I will second that. I have Sami Zayn retaining and Otis, Tozawa, and Maxxine all walking out together after Otis lays out Chad.
All right. We shall see how. Very, very, very interesting. Could go either way for sure, because Chad, I do believe, recently got that bag in WWE, might be rewarded with a championship victory. We shall see about that. As we get to our next match on tap, which is Bayley versus Piper Niven for the women's championship, I got Bayley.
I have Bayley as well. Finish her off the second rope. And Piper will get a great ovation after the match.
I think so as well. I think it's going to be a very nice ovation for Piper. I think this would be a very heated match. I think Piper's great, and I think this would be an opportunity for her to really unleash and go, because we have really seen Piper Niven really go out there and cut loose in a WWE match. Hopefully she gets a platform to do it in this setting in her home country as we get to what we presume will be the semi-main, maybe. If they open the show, we'll see how it goes. Cody Rhodes versus AJ Styles, I quit match for the Undisputed WWE Championship. I got Cody winning.
Yeah, we're all locked in here. Cody Rhodes wins in another great match. And I'm curious. Let me ask you this, since we both think Cody's going to win. Do you think he's going to, you think it's going to be a submission, or do you think he's just going to just beat the hell out of him until he says, I quit?
I kind of sense that too. Definitely. And I also sense cowbell definitely be used in this match. No doubt about it. And now it is
need
time.
More cowbell.
Need more cowbell. I knew you was going to say it. I knew you was going to clean it up here. You was going to come through in the clutch. As we now get to the main event, as we presume will be for the show, Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre for the World Heavyweight Championship with the Judgment Day barred from ringside. I have, and this is tough, man, because I don't know how they're going to swing it, but I am going to say that Drew wins, Punk comes out, ruins everything.
Oh, man. Just so we're not in complete agreement on everything, I'm going to say that Damian Priest retains the title and CM Punk solidifies himself as the greatest hater of 2024. I think he screws him out, and we have CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. You don't need the title. You have Damian Priest versus Gunther, because remember, Gunther is facing the World Heavyweight Champion at SummerSlam. I think that's an important thing that we have to remember. And unless they're doing Drew CM Punk at WrestleMania, I think CM Punk costs Drew the title. So I got Damian Priest retaining the championship.
Oh boy, I know we try not to be in sync here for this entire prediction, but it could really go either way. And CM Punk could really go down as the greatest hater of 2024. And there have been some great hater moments from AJ Styles flying all the way over to Australia just to make LA Knight pay. That is levels of hatred that should be commended. And then we have CM Punk being a supreme hater at WrestleMania, Drew being a hater at various times over the last few months. Will we reach peak hateration? I don't know. We shall see. This is a toss-up. I'm thinking that Drew McIntyre wins and then Punk comes out to provide the hate, because I think it's time for Punk to be back on TV regularly. Monday Night Raw needs a boost for the rest of the summer in terms of ratings, and he will give them that. He is a ratings mover, undoubtedly so. But yeah, either or option works for me. But I will tell you this. If Drew McIntyre does not walk out a champion at Clash at the Castle, he should never compete at another Clash at the Castle again, because this show is cursed for him.
Oh, it's all good. Tyson Fury will be there. They'll be like, oh, we both lost. We're two losers. We can sing a song on the way out.
Sweet Caroline. Like the most random thing. And they wondered, what the fuck is this? Like, they forgot the cameras still rolling. Like, why are we saying this?
So that's what's gonna happen. They're gonna Tyson Fury. If you see Tyson Fury in the front row, you know Drew McIntyre is catching an L and they singing afterwards.
No, oh dear, not good at all. But we shall see how it goes. As that is a wrap for the Clash of the Castle predictions right here on the wrap, and that's a wrap for this episode right here live on the Fight Game Media Network on YouTube. I do want to thank my co-captain Scott Young for running it back twice in 48 hours as we talked all things WWE ahead of Clash at the Castle this Saturday on Peacock.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. Looking forward to the show this weekend, and looking forward to the cookout, because apparently Cody Rhodes got an invite. So looking forward to seeing him there. You know who didn't get an invite, though? And that's Brandy.
Cold-blooded game, for sure. Give Brandy a plate, okay? That's all I'm going to say. And Cody, don't you bring no raggedy potato salad to the cookout, okay? No raisins in the potato salad, okay? Make it perfectly clear. But we'll be back. And I do not know for sure, depending on Scott's schedule, because I don't want to make a promise and we're going to be late. So we might be back Sunday, or we will run it back Monday night and we'll be back Tuesday morning for the wrap. And we'll talk about Clash at the Castle and Monday Night Raw and anything that happened on SmackDown from Scotland, which happens to be a double special hitting in that country as well, which is a great vibe having that crowd be hot the day before. And then, of course, for the show itself on Saturday. So we might be back on Sunday morning or most likely Tuesday morning, depending on the schedule, but we'll let you know nonetheless on the socials. So for myself and for Salty Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Take care, bye bye, and enjoy the rest of the week as we head into Clash at the Castle in Glasgow, Scotland.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.